phone, but don't talk.
Again, Dave, W2T, getting ready to get mobile.
Busty all the time.
And out your keeper today, too, huh?
Yeah. I guess I'll just have to, I'll just have to be good today.
Keep out here in a few minutes. I got to go to the post office, and I got a physical therapy session at 1 o'clock, so... trying to get a few things done here at the house before I get out this morning.
I can see we had a breaker in there. Give us your call again, please, sir.
But it is a little hot, so I'm not sure what radio you're using, but some of them, the microphones are hotter than others, so you need to get back from a little bit of talk across the side of them, one or the other. And I'll back off just a tad more before you talk again.
Phone call KV4CBA.
Bye.
How's this? W1RER.
Better. That's better. What radio are you talking on there, Richard?
I'm in my mobile, D57D.
57D, those things are... yeah, that one's got 2 meter on it. Yeah, that one's... those sometimes seem to be a little bit hot sometimes. Mine was when I had it, so... you gotta back off the microphone. I don't talk straight into the microphone on this Kenwood I've got here because I've been told it's too hot if I talk directly into it.
CBA, I'm back.
Be, I don't know, 6 inches from the mic right now. But we're trying out a different antenna, so. All right, thank you much. We'll get back to you. W1RER will be clear.
All right, that last transmission of yours was the best one you've had in that group right there. You're sounding good, and that new antenna seems to be doing a job, good job for you. Talk to you later, W2T. Go ahead, David.
That was my wife, because she usually calls when I get on the radio, but it was some, I don't know, I guess a telemarketer, and he wanted me to, was actually an automated system, because they want me to press 1 for this, and... I just hung up. I should have looked at the number before I hit the talk button.
My phone, when I use Bluetooth on it, it's got a little thing. It'll talk to me and tells me whether that's somebody in my list or just an unknown number. And if it's an unknown number, it gives me a chance to tell it to either answer or not. And usually I can tell it not to. All right, David, well, let me go. I got to run the other room, gather stuff up, put all my stuff in my pocket because I got to head out of here and go by the post office before I head to the therapy place today. You have a good one. We'll catch up to you. I'll be on the radio here in a few minutes. W2D.
In about 10 more minutes, I'm headed to the tennis, play some tennis today. CPA Mobile.
4DJC, Mike.
Hey, come back again on that call, KP4CBA.
Good afternoon, David. This is N4DJC. Just wondered if you took those mufflers off that bus thing or what happened with that.
I'm loud, but I should have recorded it. I didn't even think about it. Dang, I just did it. I just got it put back together, and I looked at my watch, and it was 12 o'clock, and I said, dang, I got to be at the sports club in 30 minutes. So I had to rip off my coveralls and change clothes and, you know, get the car off the jack stands and put everything up out. I had my motorcycle out. I had my toolbox out. I had air compressor out. And all that had to go back so we could use the garage. And so I had to do all that in about 30 seconds.
You must have been the Flash then if you're able to get all that done in that short a time. Yeah, I thought it'd be pretty loud. I was, we were discussing yesterday about the Z28s with the baffle exhaust, and I got on YouTube after we spoke and looked around a little bit, and I was pretty sure I was crazy. I didn't take a look at the actual exhaust system. It sounded like I think the baffle ones were only on the 302 435s that they built for a while, but. It was loud. It wasn't as loud as no mufflers, but it was pretty loud.
Tested it like that, but the next hanger was way up about 3 feet toward the front, and I was afraid it would put too much pressure on them, and because the mufflers are right at the rear of the car, the tips come directly out of the muffler. They're welded right onto the back of the muffler. So that's how close they are to the back. But boy, I tell you what, I rev that thing up and it really sounded good. But I couldn't leave it like that. I had to put it back together.
I'd be kind of cautious about leaving it, especially if it didn't have that much support up on it. You don't want anything falling out from another car or anything like that. And also, I imagine, since it's that far back, I don't guess the carbon monoxide would be an issue with it either. But anyway, I was interested to see what happened with that. I was always tinkering with my stuff back in the 50 years ago, but I stopped that a long time ago. My father-in-law rebuilt Jaguars. He had four or five of them, and my wife and I helped him with that sort of thing, and it was kind of interesting, but everything was so oddball to me. I learned a lot about the British cars and didn't learn as much about the American cars as I should have.
Envious of you, because I know very little about the British cars, and I wish I knew more, you know, because I've never even seen a scan tool hooked up to a BMW, and I'd like to see what that's like and see some of the codes and learn about their computer strategy and all that, because it's totally different from GM and Ford and all that, so... Anyway, I've worked on just about everything else. I don't know if I've worked on a Mercedes or not, but when I was at John Finger, I worked on whatever came in the door.
We were living in Rock Hill at the time, but one of the guys that rented an apartment in our complex, my wife was a manager. One of the guys that rented an apartment was he was an emergency physician. He was something, you know, he worked some real odd hours. He was, you know, he had already graduated and all that sort of thing. I think he was an emergency physician. He had one of those, one of the early, I guess it was an RX-7, I suppose, with a had the rotary engine, and this guy had taken the air conditioner off of it and taken, I mean, he just stripped everything out of it that was not essential to the creature comforts, I suppose. And he said it weighed it down too much, and he stripped everything out, and all anything that was heavy, he took it off, and that thing would absolutely, I mean, it would fly. It wasn't as fast as a turbo Porsche or something like that, but it was fast for those days.
KN4BWA.
KB4CW. What was that? KB4CBA recognizing KN4BWA. We'll get to you in a minute. Just hold your, just wait your turn. Was that a one bank or a two bank engine? Do you know?
This was back in the late 70s, I guess, when we moved there, and I don't recall to be honest with you. I think it might have been a two, but it was early. I mean, he'd had it for a couple of years, I think, David, and I just remember it was, you know, that Lincoln was just a cool concept. I even had a RC plane at one time that one of the guys wanted to put evidently somebody made one for the, you know, radio control planes at one time. It was a cool concept. Anyway, I think it might have been a one, but it was pretty small, the car was, and he was complaining about it, you know, diving into curves, and he ran some autocross, and there was a, we had a mall, I mean, it's actually a big shop center not too far from us in Pineville that had autocross on Sundays, and we'd go up there. I had one of those little early Civic CRXs, and that was a great autocross car. It was just, you could fly around the corner, or fly around the corners with that boy.
Go ahead, Steve.
I couldn't help but hear y'all talking about those rotary engines. Back in the 70s, this old boy's name was Blackwell, and he had some sort of relationship with John Finger over there. But anyhow, he took and he fabricated a rail frame, and that seat of that rail frame was not more than about, 4 inches off the ground. And he used a Volkswagen transaxle, and he would take a rotary 13B, and he put a header on it, mounted it to that Volkswagen transaxle, and he manufactured a intake for that thing and put a Holley 650 on it. And, oh my gosh, he used it up there at the Chimney Rock Hill Climb, and that thing was just unbelievable.
I'm going to let David jump in because he's the smartest guy.
We used that thing. He ran, there was a unlimited open modified class. And, I mean, he actually set a couple of records to the top of Chimney Rock once with it. But that thing was unreal.
Give a break in there for David. He was. People want to jump in there. I tell you, those engines were interesting. I don't know why they went out of favor like they did. I don't know if they don't make them anymore or not. I don't have any idea. Haven't owned a Mazda in years, but they were innovative engines, though. No doubt about that. And I think they were pretty lightweight, if I remember correctly. But one of those hill climbing rails. That sounds pretty interesting. I bet that thing would fly too.
Oh, it was unreal. He used to play with it over there on the street beside my office at his shop. And man, it was just like a bullet. And but anyhow, the reason they quit manufacturing those engines is because the fuel economy on them. And the fuel efficiency was horrible. And the emissions on them, they never really could get them to come into standards on the emissions.
W2T Mobile.
Hey, Rusty.
I don't know who else in there. I know Dave was talking a while ago. I heard him, but I don't know if he's still there. And who the other gentleman is. But I'm on my way up here to go to the post office, and then I got to go to my physical therapy session. So that's what today is looking like. And I guess I'll see where it goes from there. I'll give it to you, Steve, and then you can pass it on around to whoever's next.
He must have got a phone call.
Might have. This is probably here lunchtime. He might have. Yeah, I didn't know that, Steve, and good afternoon, Rusty. This is N4DJC, Jerry. I'm in Anderson. I didn't realize about the field kind of. I didn't give it much thought, because like I said, I always wanted one. I drove one early on when they first came out, and it was a great little car, as I remember, but that engine was just so it was so unusual. I wasn't an early adopter back in those days, and so I never bought one. Of course, I had a family then that I didn't have any business with a two-seater. We'd already been through that with a Jaguar phase we went through early on in our marriage, so we kind of ran out of reasons to keep a two-seater around.
Well, I tell you what, do you remember when you drove one, what kind of RPM those things would turn? Shoot, I think they'd wind all the way up to about, I'm exaggerating, 10 or 15,000 RPM. It was crazy RPM. But I've got a 1973 MGB, and I'm going to tell you something. If I can find a Mazda 13B engine, I'm going to slip that puppy right down in that little 73 MGB, and I'll have me a little screamer.
Give a chance for us to jump back in here. Yeah, we had, actually, my father-in-law, that was his thing. He had a friend of his who sold him, he actually had a, his first one was an XK120, which is a two-seat roadster. And his friend sold him that one, and then he had a Mark IV sedan. He bought his son, my brother-in-law, an XKE, and my wife, a 1960 XK150 coupe. And that 150 was a nice car. It actually had air conditioning. It had an automatic in it, which was unusual. Of course, all these were left-hand drive. None of them were right-hand drive cars. But he kept that 120 up until just before he passed away, a year or so ago. He sold it about 4 or 5 years ago. But they were just not, I'd work with him, putting them back together, that sort of thing, but I just didn't have the time to work on them, and parts got so hard to find for them and so expensive that if you hadn't ran into something that you didn't know what to do with, it was just made impossible to find somebody to work on them without charging an arm and a leg or either making a big mess of it.
Let's see if I've got it here. Yeah, I got back in here. You guys must be talking about sports cars and MGs and Jaguars and things like that. Well, I used to referee football with, had a MG midget, the little midgets, and at one time he had three different ones. He was rebuilding them and everything else. He did a lot of rebuilding on these cars, and we used to, back when we were refereeing football in the fall, but it was still warm enough, we'd get his little MG midget out there, and he'd run us between sites where we were calling ball games on Saturday, and that thing was a little screamer, and I liked riding in it, but I didn't want to own one and all, but he rebuilt those things on a regular basis, and at one time he had four of them sitting in his yard, three of them completely rebuilt, and the other one in the process, so it's fun to look at little things like that, and I never dreamed about them because I just never could afford something like that. Go ahead, Steve.
And Rusty, I'm assuming you're not over 6 feet tall.
You got that right, because let's see, I was five at that point in time. I was down to about 5'9". I started 5'10", and I was down to about 5'9" by that time. And the guy that owned these things, he was about 5'6", maybe 5'7" at the most.
KN4VWA. Yeah, I tell you what, I am 6'4", and actually had the manager of the McDonald's on Wade Hampton Boulevard there at Wade Hampton High School come out to watch me get in that MGB. And it was a sight. But after you're in it, it's fine. But getting in and out's tough, and there's no way that I can get in that midget. I've tried before because if I had another friend that had one, I just can't even get in it. Oh, me. But they're fun little cars.
SW2G.
Okay, we'll see you. Seems a little bit rusty. I'm going to have to run downstairs a minute and see if my wife has called me to pick her up. She's either at Sam's or Walmart. I think she's at Sam's. I think that's where I left her. Walmart's next door. I have to go pick her up in a little bit, probably. But those MGBs were cool little cars. I had my first cousin, when he got back from Vietnam, he had an MGB GT that he wheeled around. It was a fun car to drive, too. And the Jaguars were bigger cars. The 150s and 120s were a good bit bigger than the MGBs and midgets were, and the little Sprites, too, which were, you know, the little Sprites were cool, too, to drive. But my father always had a spare engine sitting somewhere, and we rebuilt my wife's car frame. We took it all the way down to the frame. We actually had the engine disassembled on the pool table in their down in their basement. So had to polish all that aluminum and all that sort of thing. It's just a complicated piece of machinery to put back together. And it's just outside. I mean, I learned a lot, but outside, I just didn't want to get that involved in it anyway, because it was just a tear. I mean, if something went wrong with it, you better know what you're doing. Either just leave it alone, one or the other.
Yeah, listen, on these old classic cars, you got to either know how to work on them, or you better have a pocket full of money. So what happened to David? David, KAB4CBA, you back in and around there yet? Go for it, big guy.
That's what we found out, too. We kept it when we first, you know, she got it when she was in high school, and we got married when I was in college. We kept it for a while, but then we decided we're just going to have to sell it. But, you know, you don't have to have, I mean, we never had more than about $1,000 in any of these, but the 120, I think he paid about $1,000 for it from his friend, but he'd had it since the late 60s, but it sold. I mean, you know, you could buy a house, but you could buy a nice Mercedes for what he got later on, because they just escalated in value. But he kept it up, you know, maintained it. You know, we took the wheels apart. You know, they had wire wheels, and we had them. We didn't have them chromed. We had them, you know, a lot of those things had painted wires instead of chromed. But a lot of them actually used nickel. Now, a lot of the hardware on the outside of the car is actually nickel plated rather than chrome plated, which is, I found, unusual. But anyway, I'm going to have to jump out of here, Steve. I'll talk to you a little bit later. I'm going to go see if I can, you know, make sure my wife hadn't been calling me, wanting to stand outside, so want me to come pick her up. But you have a good afternoon. I'll talk to you later today. I never did get your call right. But anyway, M4DJ Sinclair.
Thank you, good to talk to me today. Sounds like you sound almost as good as I do. Oh, have a good afternoon. 73 is KN4 VWA, clear, and I'm fixing to go in and get me some vittles down in Simpsonville. Clear.
Now, where are you going to go eat so I can come join you and you can buy my lunch, W2T?
You just get on the radio, and I'll tell you when I hear you squeaking when you walk. No, we're down at Milano's in Simpsonville.
There. Haven't ever been there. And off. But I've eaten over there a couple of different places, a time or two in the past. But never there. And off. Did you ever get a chance to try out that new restaurant, that new barbecue place up in Inman yet? The guy that owns it, she put some more pictures on Facebook the other day of some of the new wings they're trying out, and want people to come in, try them, and then vote for them to see which ones they're going to keep. And all they're slowly but surely adding to their line of things, but they're doing it. They're staying busy, so the food must be good.
I showed it to my wife, and we got to stop in there and see how it is. They really fixed that old building up. That building's been there years and years and years. It used to be a bar.
When I used to go by it.
That's just like makeup. paint can do a wonderful thing.
Got a whole lot of glass on the front of it, too, I think, if I remember when I went by there the other day. Yeah, I got to get up there. Maybe next week I'll run up there when I have time and stop in, have some barbecue up there and see what's going on. And get up there and try it out, because I've talked to several people who might go to my church, and they've been up there, and they say the food is A1. Put it on the top of the list for barbecue places.
Well, listen, when you head over there, let me know. Give me a call, and I'll come over and let you buy my lunch, and we'll check it out real good. In the meantime, W2T, this is KN4VWA. I'm clear, baby. I'm going in to eat. Bye.
Well, before you go, this buying lunch business, you're the guy that's still working, so you can buy my lunch. I'm the guy on the fixed income. Remember that. So, you know, we'll talk about that. Talk to you later, Steve. Have a good one. KN4VWA, W2T Mobile.
I think the dog is just hiding there. I don't think it's trapped there.
So who the real lead is to find a fire department never showed up?
Again?
For sure, they should have.
Department said, basically call animal control. So, no, what I gotta do is, what I'll do is I'll put a camera in here facing that crawl space, and I'll see if anything ever goes in and out of there. I don't think that dog is trapped down there. I think she just goes in and out of there because she's hiding.
Dog food here, and I bet you'll find out.
I tried. Although if I come back later and the bowl's empty, I can't be sure the cats didn't eat it. You know, I got one more trail camera I'll tie to a tree, and I'll have it watching that side of the house, see if a dog ever pokes its nose out. But, no, I haven't heard the dog recently.
Hey there.
I wouldn't even know where to, you know, if you shine a light in the main crawl space, you can't see it. So it would have to be up inside a wall or something. Or somewhere where there's pipes to go up or something like that. I don't think it's trapped. I think it's just scared of something.
Probably doesn't like it too much.
I could call animal control again and have them look around down there.
Pastor make them do their stupid job.
But, oh, no, we can't go under the house, into the crawl space. No, we're not allowed to do that.
fine.
Yeah, their employee is not allowed to do that.
He's not allowed to do that. Just like I thought, I'd like to see one of those attorneys on that Survivor show. Fire? You can't light a fire. We'll get sued if anyone gets burned.
Head off.
20-page waiver, and you could light a fire. If you had to leave it to lawyers to rebuild civilization, nothing would ever get done.
Oh, man, this is crazy. So this one guy was telling Chris the Sheep Shop that I never, the holes weren't threaded. I said, oh, yeah? It's kind of funny. I know that. I said, man, you know, Chris is a good guy. It's not Chris, somebody else, right? I'm like, I'm to the point with him. I had it.
What's Chris up to? He moved his shop already. You mentioned that.
Just, between both shops, you got so much to move and try to work through. And the other guy next to me is his blowing my balloon. I got help with that. I'm trapped in here. My leg's all messed up. I still got, it's healing, but until I can get mobile or get around a little bit, I can't do nothing.
You can't even walk around.
But I'm trying to get this thing healed so I get stockings on it and be done with it.
Some other factor that's preventing it from healing.
The wrap went too tight, and they're leaving it too long, and that's why it's doing it. It's nothing to do with me. It's just not being dealt with right.
I tell you, no competent healthcare people left anymore.
Hopefully you drain that building down, crack, because it's been pretty cold. You might want to get to that if you didn't do it. Turn down in that one I was on, it's down the crack, make sure you did it.
I don't know if it's going to get that cold. The well is actually turned off. And the circuit breaker panel for the well is padlocked. I suppose I could have gone around all the other trailers and just left the faucets open to drain the water. I don't think things freeze that hard around here.
Morning's already.
To be in the 20s consistently for a couple of days. Besides, the ground insulates the, although around here they don't bury the pipes that deep.
I'll go over there and just drain those back and make sure you drain the front faucet. It'll be all right, probably, but I'm sure that wouldn't work too much. It's the house, the main thing.
He drained the whole system by letting it run out until the pressure tank empties. Because right now the well pump is completely shut off. There's no point in having water there at this point, right?
Sit down, make sure it's safe, don't get hurt. That's it. I mean, at that point, you get time to feel better to deal with it.
That really freezing, but you're probably right. I should go over there tomorrow and check it.
They haven't had me here yet, but I'm sure it will. That's why I gotta heat the darn shop.
Water pipes under the concrete. Concrete loses heat faster than soil.
But that pipe out by my shop only buried about 10 inches down. You can get right down to it. Even the other ones, they don't really, the water pipes that deep around here. Not like they do up north, my old house up in Connecticut. The water line was about 48 inches down, which is where it should be.
I'm at about much more than half that depth. You know, yeah, they used to, up north, they do go down at least 3 to 4 feet. Here, maybe you're lucky if it's 2 feet. But there again, you don't have the hard freeze problem as much as up north, generally.
This is warm, it's chaos for me, right?
That's true. Look, I'm in the middle of, let me get a few things done, and I'll call your phone later.
Toward the end of the night, when I was getting bored to death.
Yeah, it's 1 o'clock now. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I'll call you later tonight, let's say 5, 6, whenever, or, you know, whenever I decide I want to unwind for the evening.
I'm
I've seen my signal scratchy as heck.
I want to get some groceries, and there's that Miracle Hill thrift store right over here. I want to see if I need cups and plates and dishes and stuff just keep breaking, and silverware keeps disappearing. And so let me see if they got silverware and maybe a couple of other things, and let me get something for dinner. But I'll talk to you later.
Feels pretty bad.
Anyway, I gotta go. I'll give you a call later tonight, but, yeah, it's almost 1 o'clock now. I got a bunch of other stuff I want to do, but I'll talk to you in a bit. KI4MLN, KD2BNG, 73s. Programmed in here. I forget which one it is. It's not one that gets a lot of activity, not like this one.
It might be 46, 820 off the top of my head, but don't quote me exactly on that one.
I know I have it in this radio. I forget what the display only shows the frequency or the call letters, but not both. I forget what the call letters are. This is actually one of the better repeaters around. And if you're ever a bit further east of where you are, there's a 145-190, I think, is all the way on the top of Mount Mitchell. That thing's got a range of at least 100 miles.
Peter is 146-820. I just came up to a red light, but I looked quickly at my cheat sheet up on my visor.
That in here, it's the other one labeled as W4NYK, and I have two of those call letters. Yeah, there's a 146-8, whatever you said, 820 or 860. Yeah, that's on the Paris Mountain or the other mountain.
Exactly which mountain it is, but definitely know it's worked a few times pretty good.
Got it programmed, you know what it is. You want a QSY over there, we can see how it works.
I'm programmed in, but next traffic light I come to and stop, I'll let you know, because I gotta switch it, then I gotta, I've been on the I'm checking all my SWRs and the power and everything, so I've been going around with the meter.
I got two repeaters that are labeled W4NYK. So the other one you mentioned must be the other frequency. And it's on, this one's on Caesar's Head Mountain. That one might be on Paris Mountain. I don't hear a lot of activity on that one, though.
KBC listening.
For KBC, feel free to jump in.
KBC, good afternoon, fellas. How are you doing?
And you got W1RAR Rich in the mobile and in the Simpsonville.
BD2BNG mobile in, I guess, coming up on Gray Court.
Name's Bill, back on this end. I'm over here in Tocoa, Georgia. Got these beams set up and just kind of trying to get them tuned in and figure out what direction to point everything in. Heard you guys in here, thought I'd jump in and say good afternoon.
Reasonable.
Audio is nice. Sound good on this end.
I appreciate that, yeah. I'm still trying to figure out where to point them here. I don't think these beams have real good rejection on the side of them, because it seems like I'm pointed kind of to the side of where you guys should be. But it doesn't change much when I turn it, so I'm still kind of fooling with these things.
It's more or less north and west of you, or north and east of you. You know, you just pointed generally in the right direction, should be fine.
They're pointed right now, more or less towards towards the Gainesville or Atlanta area. That's what I'm saying. I don't think they have much rejection on the side or in the back. I'll have to get my compass out and kind of redo this a little bit and see where we're going with this.
How many elements are the beams?
At the side of that antenna.
Guys, have a good afternoon. Appreciate a little bit of rag too, and appreciate the feedback, and I'm going to let you have it back. So, good talking to you, and maybe we'll get to talk to you again a little bit later on. KB4KBC, I'll be clear.
Yeah, come back. There's a 9 p.m. net. I assume you've heard it before. And maybe we'll hear from you again. Anyway, I'm getting close to where I gotta be, so I'm gonna jump out here for a bit. This is KD2BNG.
All right, gentlemen, I'm in traffic, and I'm sorry, but I missed everybody's call letters, so I'll apologize. I'll say 73s, and good talking, everyone. W1 RAR Mobile, we'll be listening.